Well, it's good to see all of you again. Our numbers are a little light today. Did I say something yesterday I shouldn't have said? What did I do? It's Wednesday. What does Wednesday mean? Oh, it's Do Other Things Day, huh? You know, even my free offer of a DVD didn't work, huh? Wow. Well, it's good to be with you. And I'm sure there'll be a few that will wander onward as we get going here. So have you been enjoying this so far? Been helpful? Given you some ideas? Well, that's good. I thought I'd start with my It Is Written question for you. It Is Written prints a quarterly publication. What is the name of that publication? Did somebody say Impressions? Did I hear it? Over here, okay, Impressions. If you folks have never seen our Impressions magazine, I have one up here on the chairs for you where you picked up your handouts yesterday. This is our latest edition of Impressions, and it really gives you a nice overview of what's happening. You want to see what happened in some of our recent evangelistic series, you want to see what's going on, but it's a real nice publication that you'll want to pick up. So that will be over here when we're done. Okay, Impressions, good. Good, good, good. Well, we've traveled and covered quite a bit of ground, haven't we? This is our seventh module now, and we'll cover 7 and 8 today, and 9 and 10 tomorrow, 11 and 12 on Friday. So hopefully you folks can stay with me. Now, I did tell you that I was going to give you my phone number and my email address. This is the only slide that actually has that, so if you want to jot that down. And the reason why is because some of you are going to go use some of the tools that I've shared with you, and you're going to have some success, and you're going to want to share it with me. So I'm trying to save you from calling It Is Written and saying, hey, there was this guy that came up to our camp meeting and, you know, and them trying to figure out who it was. So you can email me or call me and tell me what's going on that you've had success doing. That'd be great. All right, so, yes. Okay, yeah, there you go. Take a minute, write it down, that'd be fine. So yesterday, as you remember, we talked about the mega mailer, the miracle card that gets on average 5 to 10 responses per thousand. And then we talked about ways to find some other interest as well. So we kind of started off by sharing with you how to build a successful evangelistic team, how to find students, and now we're going to talk about how to follow up those interests. So this is going to be kind of an interesting half hour for you as we kind of flush out when the boots hit the ground, what happens. All right? So, well, now, yesterday we ended with sending the information to It Is Written that they needed, the territory, how many, the contact person, you know, all that stuff, the zip code area. While you're waiting, there's things that you can be doing. So we're going to talk about that. You, of course, can be praying over these cards as they're going out. It Is Written will notify you the day your cards go in the mail. So when they go out to your territory, in your town, wherever it is, you can start praying for those cards and praying that the Lord will guide the right people to respond, okay? I do have handouts. Thank you. Handouts, my goodness. All right. Somebody else over here help me? I got Rick back here. Thank you, Rick. Appreciate it. Okay, so check. We're going to pray. Do you have your evangelism team ready? I mean, you better be organized. You better be ready to go. You better have everything figured out. All right, check. Did you get your supplies? Do you have what you need? Remember, it is written, we'll help you through every step of this process. So if you're not sure what you need, they'll sort it out with you. But you want to make sure you have your supplies ready. Check. All right. You know what? It might be a good idea for you to know what our lessons look like and what they say. So we always encourage you, when you get the lessons, review them. Go through them. Get familiar with the lessons. You know, I do have some samples in the back later. If you remind me, I don't have enough for probably everybody, but I have maybe 20 or so, and I can pass them around, give you a sample. I think lesson 15 or something, I have a sample. Okay, so you're familiar with the lessons. Check, done that. I had shared with you all the different videos that are available on Salt 365. I did tell you something wrong yesterday. I'm going to see if I can find this. Okay, now, oh, it didn't work. Shucks. I thought that I could make this work. Nope, not going to make it work. Okay. But I told you to go to itiswritten.com, then scroll down to Salt, and that's wrong. When you go to itiswritten.com, there's tabs across the top, and the second tab says what we do. And if you click on that tab and scroll down, you'll see the Salt tab. And that will take you into all the information, everything there is to know about Salt, all the archived videos that have been done. And I mean, there are videos that tell you how to do everything. How to overcome objections, how to talk to somebody about the state of the dead, how to do this, how to do that. There is video after video. I think at last count there was 75 resources there. So become familiar with what's there so that when you're doing your studies, you can say, oh, there's a video that talks just about this. I'm going to watch it, and it's going to give me some really good information and help me. All right, so we're going to do that. Check. Well, we're going to pray some more. Man, we're just really going to labor with the Lord. We're going to reach out to the Lord that He provides us the names and the contacts of the right people that He wants us to meet. All right, so now the cards begin to arrive. What an exciting time. Slowly but surely, the cards start coming in. And they come into our office. All right, everything comes to our office, and we have your church coded. So we know exactly what goes to you. Now remember, the numbers are 5 to 10 cards back for every 1,000. So if you sent 5,000 cards out, you can expect anywhere from 25 to 50 requests for Bible studies. Incredible. You better have your team ready if you're going to mail out that many. All right. Remember, these cards represent precious souls that are searching, that want to know what the Word of God says. You've got to handle them with high regard. Yesterday I said they're more precious than silver and gold, and they are. All right. So, based on our past experience, we have really a good return rate. So here's the process. Let's say Mary Brown. Let's take Mary Brown as our example today. Mary Brown goes out to her mailbox, and in her mailbox is this mega mailer, this oversized postcard, the miracle card, we call it. You can't help but look at it. You can't help but flip it open. I mean, it's gorgeous. It's really beautiful. It just draws you in. She looks at that. The Holy Spirit speaks to her heart. She rips off the card. She fills it out, and she mails it. And it goes to It Is Written there in Chattanooga, Tennessee. When we get it, we scan it, and we make sure that we have a copy in case something happens to the original, because we're going to mail the originals to you. If you don't get the originals, something happens, we always have a backup for you. So that's how the process will work. We're going to scan it. We're going to log it. Remember, I told you we're kind of crazy about numbers and everything. We track everything to the nth degree because we want to know where we're having success, what we need to do better at, and so forth. So we're going to write everything down. We're going to know exactly what's going on. And then we're going to mail the cards to you. And Mary's going to be in that package of cards that comes your way. Here she comes. Mary just dropped on your doorstep. Interesting. Well, let's go to responding to the card. So now we've got the card in our hand. Mary Brown, we're going to go see her. So we're going to take a partner, right? We're not going alone. We're taking a partner. We're doing that for two reasons. One, the Bible gives us that as an example. And two, the Bible tells us to do it that way, to go two by two. So we have our partner, and we're going to go on out and visit Mary. How are we going to dress? Well, you don't need to put on suits and ties or fancy church clothes. You really don't. But we want you to dress appropriately. So we call it business attire, similar to what I'm dressed like today. I do a seminar on dress for success, and there is such an advantage when you dress appropriately for the occasion. So you want to make sure that you're dressed properly, and you are representing Jesus, aren't you? Okay, so then we're going to take lesson number one with us, and we're going to take the reply card. So I have a sample lesson here, and I've got a sample reply card here, and we're going to take this with us when we go. Where are we going to park? Well, we're going to park in the street in front of the house. That's where we're going to park, okay? And we're not going to linger in the car, which means that we're not going to pull up in front of the house, and we're going to say, well, let's pray about this. No, we're not going to do that. You're going to pull up maybe two or three blocks before you get there and say, all right, let's have a season of prayer. But when you pull up to that house, it's all business. You open the doors, you get out, you walk to the home. Okay? There's a reason why we say all this. We like to respect people's property, so we don't want to go cutting across the grass, walk on the sidewalk, walk up to the door. And now, you don't want to necessarily be doing a lot of talking. You surely don't want to be pointing and saying things as you're walking up to the house. You are most likely being watched by somebody. You know the old saying, curiosity killed the cat? Well, there's a lot of curiosity people out there, and it might be a lady across the street. It might be somebody in his garage down the road. It might be the person in the house you're calling on watching you from an upstairs window. But you're being watched most likely. So you want to act professionally, and you're going to walk up to the house. You can chat a little bit as you're walking, but when you hit that porch, when you hit that door, you're going to be quiet, all right? We're going to just be calm, take a deep breath, and the next thing we're going to do is we're going to ring the doorbell. And if there's not a doorbell, we're going to knock. Now, as I told you, I'm an old literature evangelist, and there was an old gentleman, I don't remember his name, and he taught us how to go door to door doing literature ministry, and I did that for years. And he said, if there's not a doorbell, and if you don't hear the doorbell ring, then you're going to have to knock. And he said, when you knock, he says, you really knock. He says, make it sound important. Don't have the person inside say, was that the dog's tail just banging on the door? No. You want the person inside to know there's somebody at that door, and it sounds important. So don't knock feebly. I mean, we have this story of these two young girls, and they said they were scared to death. They said they went up to that door, and they were shaking. And they knocked on the door, and they were just praying, don't anybody come. Don't anybody come to the door. And they were so relieved when nobody came, and they started to walk away, and the door opened. And this is what they said. Miraculously, God took over, and we had a great visit. That's right. That's what happens. But they had that experience they wanted to share with us. All right, so you're at the door, you ring the bell, you step back. We don't want you crowding the door because it kind of has an aggressive feeling. So you ring the doorbell and you step back, you know, plenty of room for them to come and open the door. And while you're there, you're praying that God directs this visit. Now, folks, you have entered into serious devil territory. at that door. You have really entered the war. There's a battle going on for that person behind that door. And Satan knows that, and he has tried to keep them from sending in that card, but they did it anyway. He's tried to keep you from forming an evangelistic team and getting together and going to that door, but you've done it anyway. He's tried to mess up your morning so that you had something go wrong and you couldn't get there, but you've made it anyway. And now you're at the door, and you're knocking, and he's going to try to keep that person from inside from answering that door. There's a battle going on for that soul. And when you realize that, you become a little more diligent in the warfare as a warrior. I am going to represent God here, and I'm going to hold my ground, and you're going to rebuke Satan as you're standing there praying and praying that Miss Mary Brown comes to that door. Okay. What do you think the hardest part is about being here at that door? What do you think the hardest part is? Speak up. What'd you say over here? Introduction. He feels the introduction is the hardest part. What'd somebody else say? Say again.
Someone coming to the door.
Oh, yeah, okay. It's scary, somebody coming to the door. Okay. You're not going to believe what the hardest part is. What's that?
Saying goodbye.
Saying goodbye? That's a good one. I like that. You're optimistic. That's great. The hardest part is finding someone home. You know, I put a lot of effort into doing these. I spent a lot of time in preparation, review, trying to memorize, learn. And if I came here and nobody was here, I'd be so disappointed. And you would be too. You know, you're prepared. You've done everything to do this. You're working for God. And you go to the door and nobody answers. It's like, oh, it's disappointing. She asked, how many times should you knock and ring the bell? Well, I do it at least 2 times. If I hear the bell inside, I give it about 15 seconds if I don't hear anything, and I ring it twice. I double it. Or knock, I would knock 2 times. So, you know, there is a disappointment when nobody shows up. There was a pastor out in the country. And one Sunday morning, only the old farmer came to church. And he said, well, still going to preach. So he preached for an hour. That old farmer was looking really weary when he got done. And he looked at that old farmer and he said, listen, man, if you only had one cow, you'd feed it, wouldn't you? And the farmer thought for a minute. He says, yeah, I'd feed him, but I wouldn't give him the whole load. So finding someone home, it's definitely the hardest thing. Wow. So what happens if no one answers? Oh, 2 times, give it a try. And we're going to realize here that maybe we need to leave, and what do? Okay. So if no one answers, get out of Dodge. Get out of Dodge. Now, try again later is interesting. Oh, let me just say this. When nobody's there and you're going to leave, you don't leave the lesson in the door. You don't leave a note on the door. Do you know these people? Have you met them? Do you have a relationship with them? No. Now, maybe after you've been doing this for a month or two with these people and you go for an appointment and they're not there, you might leave a note on the door. Sorry to miss you. Maybe they had an unexpected appointment they had to leave. But not the first time. We certainly are not. So now, how many times are we going to go back? I've got, let me see here. Mike and Phyllis. Friends of mine, Mike and Phyllis, they're not in Colorado, they're in Nevada. They're in Nevada. They teamed up to do this, and they got a card for a Joe. And they went to Joe's place, and he was in a gated community. Now, you know what to do with a gated community, right? You sit on the side until a car comes, and you follow it through. That's what I do. I do it all the time. You just park on a little side street until you see somebody come and go through the gate, and you speed up, and you go right through with them. Now, in Florida, some of these really nice estates now, they're putting double gates, so you can't do that. But, you know, if there's somebody that's in a gated community, you just wait and follow them through. So this is what they did. They waited, followed somebody through. Knocked on Joe's door. No answer. They left. Went back again. No answer. They left. And went back a third time. Nobody home. They left. So how many times should you go back? How many times? Well, they continued, and on the seventh visit, Joe was home. And their hard work paid off because Joe was baptized, and he's now, right now, giving Bible studies to his family. So, and it is written, we say, you keep going. You just keep going. And maybe you got to find a different day, maybe a different time of day. People work different schedules, so you maybe have to kind of work around, but try to find a time that maybe they'll be home. So you don't give up. Keep going back. So he says, you know, there might be a phone number on the card. And I don't know if there is. I don't think there is. But let's say there was, and you hear somebody inside. And I'm glad you brought this up, Scott, because I wanted to talk about this. And so you hear people inside, but they won't come to the door. Now, that happens to me all the time. And it's going to happen to you, too. People see a stranger at the door. They're like, I'm not answering that. But they watch you, and they see you go straight back to your car and leave. And they go, well, they're not Jehovah's Witnesses. They'd have gone to the next door. They're not Mormons. They wear white shirts. Wonder who that is. Well, that curiosity is working. When you go back the next day or the next week and you knock on that door again, sooner or later, they're going to open that door. They are. But no, I wouldn't call them, by the way, to answer your question directly. Nope. But it's kind of a, I don't know, I hate to say it like this, but it's a little bit of a cat and mouse game to try to get people to open that door. And to tell you what, some people are going to open that door and they're going to be pure sanguines. They're so happy to see you and wow, wonderful, thanks for coming by. And then you're going to have the melancholy, like, what are you here at my house for? I mean, you're going to have it all. And we're going to talk tomorrow about some of the objections you're going to face and how to answer them. All right. Sure. Scott, thank you. Appreciate that. That's really good. His question is, you might go through a lot of ones and twos, giving them to people that don't ever follow up, and so now you have a whole set that's missing one and two. Can you buy the lessons individually? Yes, you can. Now, I also have up here on a bench for you our resource catalog, and you'll want to pick this up because it has more in it than I even realized. And I say that because I was making sure that it had what I wanted to show you today. And doggone, if it didn't have all the information on the It Is Written Bible School, the door hangers, the mega mailer, and everything is all here for you. But in the beginning of this, it has the study guides, all individual. So you can buy 25 number ones, 20 number twos, however you want to do it. And we'll help you with this based on how many cards you get back. So this is a great thing to have, this resource catalog. So get one of those as well. That will be handy for you, for sure. Great questions. Hey, I got to, before I forget, it's pricked my mind twice while I've been talking to you. But yesterday, I said something that the Lord pricked my conscience at 3 o'clock this morning and said, Jeff, you didn't tell something that was the truth. So I have to confess and apologize. Yesterday, I was telling you about doing a business card and going to your neighbors. And I had said that I had done a business card and gone to my neighbors. Well, I'd gone to my neighbors, but I never did do a card. Okay? I just wanted to make that clear. I did go to those neighbors and did offer my services, but I didn't have a card, but I thought, what a good idea that would be to have a card. Now, a couple of them, I believe I gave my regular business card to, but not all of them. But I do want to go back and make a card, and I want to go and visit every one of my neighbors and give them a card and say, hey, you know, here's my number. Call me if you need me. So wanted to confess that to you. Let's see where we are here. Okay, so we've decided that we're going to go back again and 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 again. And as many times as we go back, we're going to realize the devil is really working, but the Spirit of God is going to win in this case. And if it takes more than seven, you're going to call and let me know, and you're going to tell me, Jeff, you wouldn't believe it took 8 or 10 times. We finally met this person, and we're doing studies. Praise God. Now, what happens if the door opens? Okay. Well, now, now it starts to happen, doesn't it? All right. So let's say that Mary Brown's home. The door opens. What do you say? Well, you say what you have rehearsed and practiced, and it's in your heart, and it's not complicated. It's not complicated. You've practiced this. One other thing I need to tell you about when you go to the door, make sure that you decide who's going to do the speaking. You don't want two chiefs at the door. And if you both are wanting to talk, well, you decide I'll talk this house, and then when we go to the next house, you'll talk. But at the door, only one person does the talking. Keeps it simpler. There's no confusion. We want to eliminate chaos. Okay, so the door opens, and you've practiced what you're going to say when the door opens. And so the door opens, and you say, good afternoon. And you say it with a smile, good afternoon. And you could give Ms. Brown an opportunity to respond and talk slow, clear, with a smile. Now we're going to introduce ourselves. How are we going to do that? Well, you're with somebody, so I would say, hi, I'm Jeff, and this is Sharon. We represent It Is Written Television here in Elkins or Lewisburg or Charleston, wherever it is you live. And we have come out to talk to you about this card. And it's the card that she has mailed in and say, is Ms. Mary Brown home? And she'll say, that's me. But what? What's the next sentence out of her mouth?
I didn't mail that card.
But I thought I was going to get something in the mail. That's the next sentence out of her mouth. But we already know what it is, so we've already got that figured out. Right? So, all right. So she says, oh, yeah, that's me, but I didn't know anybody was going to come to my door. Okay. Well, we are going to then say to her, I want to get this right because I like this line. These lessons are so important. It Is Written has asked us local representatives if we would bring the first one out to you personally. That's not too bad, is it? That's not too bad. That doesn't sound too offensive to anybody. In fact, we've been charting that, and we have found that the response on that is like 80% favorable. People say, oh, and they're gracious. Oh, you came out personally to give this to me? And it's a positive experience. Okay, good. So then the next thing you're going to do is you're going to share with Mary a little bit about the lesson. Say, this is lesson one. And as you can see, these lessons are beautifully illustrated. And the format is done in a very simple, easy way. And the context and what Pastor Bradshaw has written about here is fabulous. You will love it. And I'm telling you, you'll love it because I just did them myself and I love them. I would like to leave it with you. She takes it. And that's another reason why you want to look at this ahead of time so you're not lying at the door. You look at it, oh man, these are great, I love them. You can say that, just done these, I love them. So you leave it with her, give it to her. Then you say, I'd like to come back next week and see if you have any questions and give you lesson number two. And we don't, now here's something that's tricky. We don't say, would that be okay? We never, ever want to give a person an opportunity to say yes or no. We want to give them a choice. And we want to give them a choice that we control the answers to. So instead of saying, I'd like to come out next week and give you lesson number two, is that okay? Instead of saying that, I'd like to come out next week and give you lesson number two. Is Monday at 4 o'clock like today, is that a good time or would another day be better? Oh, no, Monday's okay. Oh, great. We'll look forward to seeing you then. Turn around, go back to your car. Okay? Question.
What if they ask you to help them do the lessons with them the very first time?
What if they ask help doing the lesson the first time? Ask me that question tomorrow. Yeah, I think maybe we'll remember that. Others will help us remember that. We'll try to remember that. If they were to ask you, can you help me right in the beginning? Let's talk about that tomorrow. Because our whole day tomorrow is structured around those kind of questions, objections, things of that nature. So the idea is, yes? I'll deal with that tomorrow. Another thing I wanted to tell you is that if you'd like, It Is Written will provide you with an It Is Written lanyard. And they'll also provide you with the part that goes on here. And I thought I had one, but I don't have it. But we provide that too, so you can print off your name and put it in there. And so you can wear this at the door and look very official. You know, you represent It Is Written. And you could, you know, we represent It Is Written here in Elkins or wherever. You can put your name and the town. So this is a nice thing. So these are available for you as well. I'm sorry? Do you get the shirt too? No, you can't get the shirt. Can't get the shirt. Yeah, we've had a lot of people ask us about that. You know, we've had some issues with that. Let me just put it that way. So we don't do the shirts anymore. All right. So, man alive, short, sweet leave. That's it, man. Short, sweet leave. We don't think that you should spend any more than 3 to 5 minutes at that door that first visit. We don't want you there any longer. We don't want you chit-chatting. We don't want you asking about the dog. We don't want you doing any of that. We just want you to just establish that contact, get that first lesson in their hand, and get an okay to come back. That's what we want. So that's all you're focused on. Very professional. You're just there representing It Is Written, leaving the first lesson. Here, thanks, bye. We'll see you. Hey, okay, if I come back next week and give you a lesson too? Okay, good, thanks, bye. So, you know, that's kind of the idea. I wanted to remember this, and so I just put this on this slide today to remind me. You know, not a lot of people, I shouldn't say it that way, there are some people that don't use their front door. The front door is just not a really, a, you know. So I've always believed in literature work that I've got to make sure that when I go to the house, I'm going to make every attempt to see if somebody's home. Now, it doesn't mean that you go walking around the backyard, but it does mean that you be wise as a serpent and harmless as a dove. So if you knock on that front door, but it just doesn't seem like this is really a used door and nobody answers, Then I would kind of walk down the driveway, maybe if there's a garage in the back, and I would just kind of look and see if there's a possibility there's maybe a side door. Or if there's a big backyard, maybe she's out in the garden. So I might just walk back there and just look and see if anyone's there, not encroaching into the yard at all, but being wise, but still looking, and very much possible that she's watching me from the upstairs window. So I'm going to be careful, but I'm looking. This is important. It's important why I'm here. I've got a very valuable lesson that's your eternal life, possibly. I'm going to see if you're here. So you have that mindset, and you're searching and looking and hoping that maybe they're just around back, or if you knocked on another door, maybe you'd be able to get them to come to the door. That's a little different than some people would do. Because you're a little bit different, maybe you'll sometimes, people will say, I better answer the door. This person seems pretty much trying to reach me, type thing. Okay. All right. That's that module. How's that? Okay. Now, I'm going to field some questions here for about 5 minutes. Yes?
My question is, Jeff, if the person is a habitual, it is written listener.
And it is written what?
If somebody that you go to the door watches it is written every week, is that going to increase your likelihood of them wanting Bible lessons?
The question is, if they watch it is written on TV, and then they saw that this was from it is written when they got the mega mailer, and they go, oh, this is cool, I watch it is written, and they send the card in, would that increase your chances? I would sure think it would. I would think it would be a real positive if they're already watching you every week. They're already familiar with John Bradshaw. And so, yeah, I'm going to take a couple more questions before I transition here to the next one. Anybody else have something I could answer quick? All right, let's... Yes, Brother Murphy. Yes.
Up the lane.
Yes.
One of the things that I've used is I visit people in the country, and they don't know who I am. They don't know how long I'm going to stay. If it's a daytime, I leave my car door open when I go knock on the door. That tells them that I'm not there to stay. If it's night, I let my car run out in the country and turn the lights on. I mean, leave the lights on, and they realize I'm just looking for somebody or something.
Good. I like that.
People come to the door.
That's great. That's a great thought. That was some really good stuff. I'm going to try to remember that and use that. Another thing that I didn't mention that just came to my mind was there's times when I'll go to the neighbor. If I'm sure nobody's home, I'll go to the neighbor and I'll say, hi, I represent It Is Written, and I was here to see Ms. Brown. I see that she's not home. Is there a certain time that I should try to come back? Oh, yeah, she works during the day. She doesn't get home till 5:30. Okay, great, thanks. I do that a lot because that really helps me coming back. And when you go back, you got to pick a different day and a different time if you're not catching them. So that's kind of important. Yes?
I'm just curious, with the cards that are mailed to them, do they have anything on the card that references the show so that they could, you know, check us out if they have not actually seen it before? So they may not be apt to mail it in right away, but they might go.
Well, we don't on that mailer say anything about the television program at that point.
Okay.
It just talks about our logo's there and our name's there, but that's all. Okay, folks, if you want to just take a couple minutes, stretch, stand up, whatever, I'm going to switch us over here. Yes? They don't know it's coming from you or your church. Oh, how do we code the card. We code the card. If you're going to mail 5,000, we run them through our coder machine and we put your specific church number on it. So when they come back in the mail, we match that number up to your church. Okay.
Have you ever been to that house 7, 8, 9 times and you never find them there? Do you ever approach the neighbor? Or does that get you in trouble? Do you ever approach the neighbor to ask?
Yeah.
When they're home?
Yeah, sure. Mm-hmm. Yep, we sure do. While you're walking around, I'm going to try to... Is anybody back in the sound booth? Hey, can you give this mic some power? I'm going to try to use this to pull sound off my computer. Is it going to let my video through?
Right.
Not too far away. And with modern eye care techniques being what they are, okay, cool. You know that if you develop an everyday vision problem...
It wasn't plugged in all the way, but I'm not sure why his work came that way and yours doesn't. Okay. Yeah. Okay, good. All right. Thanks. Appreciate it. I can control it right here. Yeah.
Okay, while you're just kind of walking around here, I'm going to show you a little 3-minute video on the Eyes for India that I talked to you about yesterday. You'll enjoy.
Techniques being what they are, you know that if you develop an everyday vision problem, it's going to be easily corrected. But what if you live in a part of the world where eye care is not readily available? If you were then to develop vision problems, you would find that not only is an eye care professional hard to find, but that the eye care might be impossible to afford. The World Health Organization says there are 285 million people in the world who are visually impaired. Of those, 39 million are blind. And of the world's 39 million blind people, 15 million of them live in one country. India. Despite the growing numbers of blind people in India, there's a severe shortage of eye care professionals. The country only has 20% of the optometrists it needs. And there's one ophthalmologist for every 100,000 people in a rapidly growing population. Now compare that to one ophthalmologist for every 13,000 people in the United States. So what's happened is that people who suffer from vision problems often go untreated. And something as simple as cataracts becomes so bad that people end up losing their sight. Somewhere else, and they would have had simple cataract surgery. Here, frequently, their vision deteriorates, and blindness is often the result. Here in Punjab state, very close to India's border with Pakistan, the very work that Jesus did is being carried forward. When Jesus was alive on this earth, he opened the eyes of the blind. And here in northern India, in fact, across India, thanks to the work of a small team of dedicated medical professionals, that same work is being done.
I've come to India to find out what they're doing and to let you know how you can help, how you can give sight to the blind.
So how does all this happen? Well, that's where you come in. It is written as partnering with a dedicated team of medical professionals
to provide life-changing eye surgery to thousands of God's precious children. And what's incredible is that each cataract surgery performed costs only $75. $75. That's less than most people's monthly cell phone plan. $75 doesn't buy much, but it does buy eyes for India. Every $75 you give gives someone the gift of sight, someone who desperately wants to see again.
Okay, now you know a little bit about Eyes for India. How many people have seen the devotional Every Word? You see your hands. Okay, there's a fair number, and there's a fair number that haven't. I'm going to share with you one that was just recent, so you get an idea what Every Word is all about.
I don't think it's really possible for us to overestimate the importance of prayer. In the book of Acts, James, the brother of John, had been executed, and Peter is next on the list. He's in prison, and the church realized what great danger they were all in. I expect they realized that if Peter was lost to the cause, the entire future of the church could be in jeopardy. Acts 12, verse 5 says, "Prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him." They prayed, and they prayed more. Their hearts were stretched out towards God, and Peter was miraculously released from prison. Great things still happen in answer to prayer. How's your prayer life? It's about the easiest thing you can do. Yet there's such power in it. Ask yourself if you're taking enough time in prayer. If not, you know what to do. I'm John Bradshaw for It Is Written. Let's live today by every word.
Now these are just 1 minute long, and you can go to our website and subscribe, and we will email it to you every day. It's a new one every day. So you will enjoy that. All right. Good. Nice and cooler today, eh? It's better today? Yeah, I think it is. I promised you the DVD for the 500 series. This is number one of the series. So this is available for you up here on the front. So up here on the front, I have the DVDs for you. Feel free to pick up one. In fact, if you're a husband and wife, or if you want to take two, and you'll share one with someone, take two, okay? I have enough for you to do that. And then you've got the Impressions magazine up here. You've got the resource catalog up here. And then, you know what? With all this stuff, you're going to need a bag to carry it home, right? So this is our bag. If you've never had one of these bags, you're going to want to take one of these bags. My wife has now about four or five of these. She picks up one at partnership or when she comes to the office, and she folds them up and she puts them all into one, and when she goes into Walmart, these go with her. And so when she's in Walmart, she takes and uses these to carry everything out, her groceries and so forth. And so it's a nice witness, and you're saving the planet from plastic and not having all those bags from Walmart, even though a couple of them are handy once in a while. Excuse me? Yeah. Good. Okay. All right. In the last 6 months, It Is Written has shipped over 3 tons of material from just website orders. How about that? These lessons, I emailed the office last night and I said, how many lessons have we printed to date? And I got the answer back today. 3.57 million. How about that? That is fantastic, isn't it? That is fantastic. Wow. Okay, here's your It Is Written question. For a gift, It Is Written has begun filming a brand new television program besides the It Is Written television that we normally see. A brand new program. What is the name of it? Nobody got this one, huh? Well, you know, how would you know? It hasn't even been out yet.
Exactly.
Right? I mean, how would you know?
Trick question. You got to give everybody a free day.
But see, if you were reading Impressions magazine, you would know. So now you're going to be able to get one. It's a program we're doing called Line Upon Line. Have you heard that? Line Upon Line. It is a question and answer Bible format in video where Eric Flickinger, he's the associate speaker for It Is Written, and Pastor John Bradshaw discuss important Bible questions. And it's a neat, neat program. And so you're going to be seeing that coming out. All right, I'll give you another question. It Is Written has just developed, see, I don't know how to word this, a new place for us to be seen besides 3ABN and Hope and Loma Linda and all the Adventist channels, and besides Trinity Broadcasting. We've now developed our own station on something that a lot of people have in their homes. Roku. You got it, Roku. Get a gift later. Roku. It Is Written has their own channel on Roku now. So you can go and look it up. And what's neat is you can go on there, and if you want, you can go back and see some old George Vanderman. How about that? Some old George Vanderman. That'd be good, wouldn't it? Okay. Following up interest part two. All right. So just after the initial visit. Now, remember we talked about you're going to take and get out of Dodge as quick as you can. Yeah. Yeah. Handouts. Boy. Thank you, thank you, thank you. You want to do this time for me? Thank you, young man.
I'm trying to be quiet.
I'll tell you what. Maybe by Friday I might remember. So anyway, we want you to get out of Dodge, right? So you walk back to your car, true and false. You get in your car and you pause and you have a word of prayer and you pray for Ms. Mary Brown.
False,
false. False. Leave, drive away. Yeah. So, yeah, after the initial visit, you get in your car and you leave. It's not professional to linger. People are watching you. You got to think that through. People are watching all the time. Drive 3 or 4 blocks, pull over in another neighborhood, have prayer, and the people that are watching you there, they're going to say, what are those people doing? All right. So you're going to definitely want to make Mary Brown a matter of prayer, for sure. All right. Now, I'm a fiend about making notes about my visits. Now, you folks probably all know Joy and Scott Cleveland over here. Well, I've been visiting them for about 6 or 7 years, about once a year, and I can go back 7 years ago, and I can tell you exactly what we talked about. How about that? Because I might only see people once a year or every other year, and I want to be sure that I can remember things that are important. Well, you're going to be seeing people closer together, but you're going to be maybe having 5 or 6 different people you're going to start studies with, and you need to make notes. So you need to have a little file for Mary Brown, and you're going to make notes. You're going to make notes, little notes to kind of when you go back in a week or two that are going to help you to remember some things. And I'll share with you more as we go on why that's important. Most of the time, this doesn't happen at the door on the first visit. But this does happen once you start to build a relationship And it's important that you jot these things down so that you can start to relate these back to her. Okay, now, I should couch this question in a true and false mode. The primary purpose of responding to someone's request for Bible studies is not to give Bible studies, true or false? You think that's false? Anybody think it's true? I see a couple truths, a couple falses, a couple truths. Yeah. The primary purpose is to build a relationship and then study the Bible together. Now, this is really important to get in your mind, because as Adventists, man, we just want to pound the truth. We love the truth. We want everybody to know it and to believe it and to accept it. And we're ready to dig in, jump in, both feet right away. Yeah, no, we don't want to do that. We want to build a relationship so that we have an opportunity to sit down at their kitchen table and discuss these important Bible truths with them. So our primary purpose is relationship-oriented. All right. Christ's method alone will give true success in reaching the people. The Savior mingled with men as one desiring their good. He showed his sympathy for them, ministered to their needs, and won their confidence. And then he gave them Bible studies. That's what it says. So, wow, look at this relationship building that Jesus did before he ever said, follow me. So this is really great counsel for us. All right, now let's do a transition. We now realize that Mary Brown is moving along nicely. So we've got to transition from handing her the lesson at the door to doing lessons with her at her kitchen table, because that's where we want to be. And if you're a friend, she trusts you, and she likes you, your chances are pretty good that she's going to let you come and sit at her kitchen table. How do you recognize when a person is ready to transition? Well, there's some pretty easy indicators. They're asking you questions about the study. You go back with lesson two, and she says, I so enjoyed that lesson. I have a question for you. Does the Bible really tell us the world powers, and will there never be a world power again? Okay, cool. She's starting to ask some questions. She's completing the lesson. Have you completed the lesson? Yes, I have. Is she enthused about what she's studying? Yes, she is. Okay, these indicators, now you're saying to yourself, this might be the day. This might be the day. I'm going to pose the question to Ms. Brown. I've really enjoyed meeting you and dropping these lessons off. Would you like me to plan on next week sitting down with you and doing the lessons together? I would love to do that. Would you? All she can say is no. She doesn't like the idea. You can say, okay, that's fine. I'll bring you back. I'll bring the next lesson to you next week. And maybe it's down the road three or four before she says, you know, you guys suggested coming in, and I was a little nervous about that then, but I'm okay now. Can we do that? So everything's a transition. Everything's timing, and everybody's on a different path, on a different time schedule. So for what might work for one might not work for another. And so as your rapport and as you get established as a friend, it starts to work out. Okay. I kind of talked ahead of my slides here. So you want to try to see if she'd be interested in doing that? Okay. Now what if she says yes? Woohoo! That's what we've been working for. That's where we want to be. Man, I can't wait until next Tuesday at 4. I'm going to sit down at her kitchen table. I am so excited. I am so pumped. I am so praising God. I am just so thankful that the Spirit of God has worked, and I've got an appointment to go back and go in her home and go over a lesson with her. So I'm going to obviously honor her time, and I'm going to be on time. Now, somewhere in this, when we're scheduling this, I always make them very aware. If I come and study with you, it will only be for about 45 minutes or maybe an hour at most that I can spend. Is that okay? They're understanding that you're not going to come and spend 3 hours in their house. You're giving them a time commitment, and you're going to honor that, okay? So you're going to sit down, and you're going to do an outline of the lesson that she just studied the week before. Say, let's review the lesson you did last week. And so you get kind of as a springboard there, just kind of getting into the lesson. So you fellowship a little bit, you have prayer, then you review the lesson, you answer any questions that she had, then you introduce the new lesson, and you do it together. Now, I'm not sure what your handout says, but it might not say what I'm going to tell you. Now, from experience, I like doing it one way, and maybe the lessons tell you a different way. Figure out what works best for you. For me, I like to have a blank lesson for me and a blank lesson for them. And I like to go in and sit down and say, let's do this together. Chit-chat a little bit. Let's have prayer. Open up. Would you like to start or would you like me to start? Okay, I'll start. And I read the question for number one. And I say, well, let's look that up. So we look in the Bible for the answer. And then we read the little notes that John Bradshaw made to clear it up a little bit if it needs it. And then the next time, the next question, they read. And we do the same thing. We go through the whole lesson, every other one. And we do it together. And we're so enthused. We're excited. We're doing it. Now, that means that you have to go to the door with three blank lessons of whatever number you're on. If you're on number three, you got to have three blank number threes because you're going to have one, your partner is going to have one, and Ms. Brown's going to have one. So you have to keep that in mind if you're going to do that approach. Now, the other approach is you drop off the lesson, you let them do it during the week, and then you come back and you sit down and you review the lesson with them, and you go through it with them. Did you have any questions? Well, let's just go through the lesson. And then you leave them the next one, and they do it the next week. So those are the two approaches. I'm not saying one's right or wrong, but you can figure out which one might work best for you. And you kind of get a feel for it when you're doing it. Oh, I think I'd like to sit down and do this with Mary Brown. I think it'd be fun. I think she'd respond better. I think it's what I want to do. And, you know, some people, they won't do it during the week. And when you get there, they haven't done it. So then you end up doing it with them anyway. Okay? No, we don't ask for the lesson. The question is, when we go and drop off number two, do we ask them for number one? No, we don't ask them for number one. We ask them if they had questions, so forth. They always keep the lesson. And that, you brought up something that I forgot from the last module, is we never mail a lesson. If you, like, after three or four visits say, this is useless, these people are never home, I'm just going to put it in the mail. Don't do that. Don't do that. You know, when you decide to do this, you're making a commitment as a team member, and you're going to follow through with that lead. That lead, that person is dear, and you want to face-to-face with that person. So you never mail it. Okay. So you study the new lesson together, you have prayer, and then you get out of Dodge. Now, I tell my wife sometimes when I'm doing lessons, I tell her, I say, honey, I'm going to be home at 5 o'clock. Because I know I've got an hour drive, that means my 3 o'clock lesson, I have to leave at 4. So I can honestly say to them, I have got to go. I've got another appointment. So you want to do that. Even if they're a talker and they're a catty chatty, you got to stop and say, man, I'd love to visit more, but I've got to go. It's better for them to be wanting more, than for them later to say, boy, I thought they'd never leave when they were doing all the talking. And that happens. So honor that hour, do your best. Tomorrow we'll talk more about different scenarios that come up during that time that will be helpful for you. All right, it's important for you to follow the order of the way the lessons are put together. There's a reason that Pastor Bradshaw put them in the order they're in. Don't go home and read these lessons and say, oh, I don't think that. I'm going to move this lesson over here. They're numbered. Keep them in order. Succinctly works better. Okay? Don't help a person fill out theirs unless it's a situation where it really is necessary. But the two of you with Bibles on the table, working it out together, they can fill in their own lesson. The lessons are in the New King James. Now, I study with one gentleman that has the New King James, and I have the King James. So we always banter, because he'll read the answer out of his Bible, and I'll go, well, my Bible doesn't say that. And we laugh, you know, and I'll read the King James version, and it's a little different sometimes, you know. And it means the same thing, but the wording's a little different. And then sometimes people have a different translation altogether. And so sometimes it's hard to find the exact answer that John wants in the blank because the version is different. So you just, it's fun. You work through it. You go, well, let's see. This is what my version says. This is what yours says. Let's see if we can figure out what the answer is here. Sometimes we just go to the back of the lesson and we look at the answer. The answers are on the back of the lesson. Go, oh, that's what needed to go there. Okay, so I wanted to highlight that for you. Now, it is written, developed some Bible study cue cards. This is a neat, neat thing. And I'm not going to take a lot of time with this, but I want to tell you about it. And it's available in the resource catalog if you want to get this box. This box is divided into 25 sections. You know why 25? That's how many lessons there are in the series. Every question that is in a lesson is in one of these cue cards. So you can take and maybe go through the lesson, and then if you want, you can take these cards and shuffle them up and deal them out between the three of you, maybe four of you, depends, and just everybody can kind of start it. Whoever has number one starts and then go to number two, and you can read those questions again and just review and just go through that process again of answering those questions in that lesson. So that's the set of cue cards that's helpful. Okay? All right, that's that module. We got eight down. Where? We got eight down. Imagine that. Wow. So tomorrow, I'll give you the subjects. Tomorrow, I'll give you the subjects. Sure.
They still want it to be mailed.
She's saying, what if they say, I thought this was going to come in the mail, and you say, well, these are so important, we wanted to hand deliver them. And she says, well, I don't care what you say, I still want them in the mail. What do you do? Some people say you mail it. Well, here's something that I've done. And you know, there's not a right answer for some of these questions. It's just hit and miss. It's hard. But here's something that I've done. I've said, you know, I appreciate so much how you feel. I know you weren't expecting me at your door. I understand that. But it is written has a philosophy of working with the people that we like to give a lesson to and becoming a friend and being there for you and answering questions for you. And it's just the process that we do. It's how we do it. You sure I couldn't just drop the lesson off every week and just if you have a question, at least I'm here. I won't ask you any other questions. I'll just drop the lesson. Can that work for you? And sometimes it does, and sometimes it doesn't. And if they're just totally pushing in the mail or nothing, I always then refer it back. Well, let me talk to my boss and let me see if we can make an exception. So that's what I would do. And, you know, that's when you have to decide or figure it out. I mean, that's when you pray a lot and pray a lot and pray a lot because the Lord's there working with you and the warfare's pretty hot. Pretty heavy sometimes. Any other questions, quick? Oh my, you're gonna have to really speak up. Do we what?
Give them your contact information at all?
Our contact information? Not right away. Do we give them our contact? Not right away, but absolutely we will if we get that relationship built. Here, let me give you my cell number. If something comes up, you can't make one of our appointments, just text me or call me. Sure. Yeah, sure. No, that's no problem at all. Anything else I can answer quick? Yes.
Do you always go by twos? Yeah,
that's a good question. Do we always go two by two? It's what we teach. Sometimes it's not practical, but it's what we teach. Yeah. I got to tell you this story.
For every lesson.
For every lesson? Well, I mean, I mean, you know, your partner might not be able to go one day because she's sick, but you feel like we still need to keep these lessons going. I don't know. You got to make it a matter of, let me tell you this story. New contacts, you definitely want to go two by two, develop a relationship, and then depends. But I'm out of time here, but I'm going to tell you this story. I could wait till tomorrow. Maybe I should wait till tomorrow. You want it today? All right, I'll tell it to you. As you know, it is written, it's building a new building, right? And about, 3 years ago, I was given the assignment to kind of start this project. And so my first job was to hire an architect. So I interviewed 3 big companies in Chattanooga. And the first one I interviewed, I thought to myself, I really like this guy. I really like this company. This is who I'm going to choose. Doesn't matter about the next two. I went to the next one. It was okay. No big deal. I went to the third one, and I knew in the first 5 minutes I would never hire that company. And I was like, well, this is going to be an easy decision. I'm going with the first company. After the first 5 minutes, this gentleman started to turn my thoughts around. And after an hour interview with him, I walked out and I said, I would never hire anybody but this company. You talk about a flip-flop. I mean, I'm talking about a total flip-flop. Now, sidebar. That can happen to you too, where people don't like you in the beginning, but you know what? After they get to hear you and they understand you love the Lord and you care about them, their impressions of you change. All of a sudden now they think highly of you. So anyway, I chose this firm, and I had to get everything kind of sorted out and set up, and I thought, you know, I got to get John Bradshaw down there to meet this company, and I hope he feels okay with it.
Was it the first company?
No, it was the third one. It was the one that I said after 5 minutes I would never choose. I ended up choosing him. So got John Bradshaw one day. He was in town. I said, we need to go down and meet this guy because I'm ready to sign the contract, and I kind of didn't tell him anything about what had happened in my interviews originally. So we go and we sit down for an hour with the architect and the support staff that would be working directly for us if we hired them. And it started off really bad. And I'm like, man, what is John going to do when I tell him I hired these people? Oh, man. But this guy turned it around again. And we walk out after an hour, and we get out on the sidewalk, and John says, how did you find this guy? This guy is perfect for us. I'm like, man, God, you are so good. He is so cool. God works so many things out. And in this whole building, we've had so many issues, and always ends up that God gets the upper hand, and he gets the glory. But anyway, that's not the story. I'm just leading up to it. So, the architect, the principal, the owner, the company, I don't see but maybe once a month. The guy that's done our building, drew our building, and is my architect contact, I see him on a real regular basis. And we talk and we email almost every day, right now especially. And his name's Don. Well, Don had the opportunity to do some architecture work for Southern Adventist University and for Little Debbie, and he's very well acquainted with Adventist. And so it's been kind of neat because I could share something with him, and he'd say, yeah, I know, and I know that person, and yeah, I know that you believe that, and so forth. And as I've gotten to know Don over the 2 years I've been working with him really closely, I realize this guy knows more Adventists than I do, and he knows more about Adventism than I do. And he's just a mind. He's just so sharp. So after a while, I thought, man, I keep meeting with this guy. So we had lunch one day, and I said, Don, I've got a sermon I'd like you to hear. Would you be willing to listen to it? He said, yeah. And it was a sermon that I had preached about a month earlier on the Sabbath. And so I gave it to him. And about 3-4 days later, he calls me up. He says, man, I just listened to your sermon. He says, how on earth am I ever going to have peace now? And so we had lunch the next week, and I said, hey, would you be interested in going through John's Bible study lessons? He knew John had a set of lessons. He'd seen them. And I didn't know what he'd say, and he said, I would love to do that. And so I said, well, when can we meet? He says, well, the only time I've really got on my calendar is 6:30 on Monday morning, and I live an hour away. I said, absolutely. Wonderful. Let's do it. And so now we're on like lesson 13 or so, and he's been through the Sabbath, and he says, Jeff, I can't argue with you. It's in the Word. Now, he hasn't seen how the three angels' messages ties with the Sabbath yet, but that's coming. That's coming. So I look forward. I see him again on Monday. So I've got Dwight that I've been studying, and now I've got this architect guy. And I'm telling you, when you get into these lessons, it's so much fun. The lessons are wonderful. They're well written, and they're just enjoyable to go through. So you're going to have some great experiences as you kick this off, as you do this. And I can't wait to hear back from some of you on some of the things that are going on. Well, I am way over time, but I didn't use up all my time the other days. So God bless you. Enjoy your next session.